Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of good that it can come, but you start seeing that it is already inside of you.
Well, I think that goes back to transcendence too. It's like, why are we having this conversation at, you know, between 28 and 35 when we have parents that are stuck in the same religion for 60 years? It's just like, dang, that sucks.
I hate you, both of you guys saying transcendence.
Dude, I love, but it's this idea.
I've been on,
it's just getting smarter.
I've done,
it's just learning,
but you're evolution. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But like, there is a point when you leave yourself. Like,
question for you. Do you believe we are spiritual beings living a human experience, or do you believe we're just human beings, period?
I think we're spiritual beings. We're consciousness, whether that's a spiritual thing or not. All right, everybody, welcome to the Deeper Than Know podcast. We have Mike, always, and the producer himself is a guest.
The legend.
With his dope tattoo.
Yeah, that hurt.
Looks good, though.
Story covering. Feel better?
Yeah, it feels a little bit better. Okay, it's been about a week.
Okay, what are we going over? We're going selfishness of human nature, maybe some consciousness, maybe some free will or the lack of free will.
Yeah.
Responsibility.
That comes with that. That's going to piss some people off maybe. And what was the last thing you just brought up?
When did the lies start? Or withholding information.
Withholding information.
Civilization. And then we can get AI at the end because that's a huge topic right now.
Oh, AI is...
We're in a simulation.
It's exploding.
Well, obviously we're in a simulation. Yeah, I don't think anybody would argue with you on that one.
Dude, I think most people don't think that. All right, let's start with free will.
All right.
Here's what I've learned, and here's the... there's 1,000 different ways to put it, mm-hmm. and this pisses off a lot of people. And then also preference. Holy shiz.
Preface.
Yeah. What I say... I cannot be held accountable for.
Yeah, this is the thoughts and feelings of the individuals here. Like anything that's said or videotaped here is the sole responsibility.
These are more thought experiments.
Okay. Most are being formulated as we speak.
Stop canceling people.
And everything is subject to change. Okay, here's, I think, the easiest way to explain free will. First, you got to define it. And I'm going to define it as when you're born to when you're dead. Whether we have free will before that or after that, I don't know. But from when we're born till we're dead, and what is free will defined as? I'm going to define it as something along the lines of, as humans, do we have the option to choose what we're going to do? If we're ever in the exact same scenario, can we ever choose anything other than what was chosen? So do we actually have free will? Can we control what is happening consciously? And what I've learned is no, absolutely at no level can you. You're born into your genetics and your environment, neither of which you controlled. And then that just causes a chain reaction to make every single decision thereafter. A thought is in that chain reaction. We don't control our thoughts. Mm-hmm. A thought is a production of neurons, which we don't control. So looking at it, at a biological level, we do not control our kidneys filtering blood, our pancreas releasing insulin. Consciously, we don't control it. Or our head producing hairs. And our brain is also an organ, just like all those other organs, which we do not control. There's an illusion of free will because we think we can control it. So to dive in a little bit deeper.
Well, and Sam Harris would say, there's not even an illusion of free will. Like there's an illusion of like a simulation or like an illusion of love. Sam Harris would be like, there's not even an illusion of an illusion of free will. So like doesn't like exist, period. Yeah. It just doesn't exist.
And you look at the laws of physics of just everything has a reaction. So where's free will in that? Like I push a domino over, it's going to fall.
So I heard a really interesting.
There's no way to think about that domino and adjust how it's going to fall. I mean, it's just a transfer of energy.
Yeah.
And that's what everything is. There's no room to change that transfer of energy.
I think where everybody gets really confused on this and why everybody gets so fired up is because it's kind of like the idea of this topic is like, all right, so if it exists, like what do you do with that information? And my argument would be like, sure, like I would agree that like your choices at that moment are, they are a product of everything that's happened to you up in that point. And even like all of your emotions at the time. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, I think there's definitions too, like free will. That would be the definition. And I think you're right. And then I think there's agency, and those aren't the same thing in my, like from what I've studied philosophically. And the difference between the two is accountability. So it's like, sure, everything that you are going to choose is predispositioned. Mm-hmm. Somebody knows that, your body knows that, your subconscious knows that, and then it creeps up into your conscious and you make the decision. But at the end of the day, you don't know what you're going to do. And so there's still like laws of the universe, right? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, which is just consequences. So like if I stick my hand on a stove, I was going to make that choice anyway, but like...
But you did learn
from it. I'm going to get burned.
there's cause and effect. So this doesn't rule out cause and effect.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Right. If I burn my hand on the stove, I'm less likely to put my hand on the stove because I've learned that.
Yeah. And I don't think that the absence of a free will concept negates the ability or the responsibility to keep trying to better your life.
But
I completely agree with that.
Kind of does. I mean, you're going to try if you're going to try, and you're not going to try if you don't try. And we don't know why some people try, and we don't know why some people don't try.
And the other part of this whole concept, like where this originates from, is a lot of this like nihilism or Epicureanism or whatever. And you get into the fact of like, all right, so what? So why did we have to figure out that free will doesn't exist? A big part of that, Sam Harris would say, or some of these other guys would say, is obviously neuroscience, but also like religion, like.
Yeah.
There's heaven and hell, mm-hmm. right? And so like, why would a loving God put you in this position, know what choices you're going to make, and then send you to hell? And my religious beliefs would also argue against that because there is no hell. Mm-hmm.
There's the good place and the bad place. I'm just watching that on Netflix. It's called The Good Place. It's a great show.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like that would be an argument. That would be where if you believed in heaven or hell and you believed in, like we were talking about the other day, mm-hmm. omniscient, omnipotent, yeah. and omnipotent yep. God. Like, just because he knows and you were designed to make this choice, I don't think necessarily gets rid of the accountability. Like, because eventually you can make the same wrong decision and be like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't, because of all those past things coming back up at that present moment.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to do cocaine one time to do that, zero times, or 1,000 times, or never. But it's why is somebody still going, why do some people learn from it and some people don't? And that's where there's not free will around that. And that's like kind of F's with everybody. So religious speaking, not that I'm a Bible expert. I don't know much about the Bible in all honesty. But if you believe in the Bible, you believe in an all-knowing God. And if you believe in an all-knowing God, that God knows everything, including what you will do at all times. Mm-hmm. So at any choice you have, you either do what God's all-knowing plan is, or you don't. If you don't, then God is not God, or he's not all-knowing. And if you do, then where's the free will in that? Because there's a plan out there.
Right. Well, and I think that's also... Oh, Mike, chime in whenever you want, dude. But I think that's also...
I'm in deep thought right now.
That's also the problem of evil, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have an omniscient God, an all-loving God, why does he allow evil into the world? And I think, again, it's like... It's the same. It's this problem of evil. It's the problem of free will. It's this idea that we've created this really black or white society in culture, mm-hmm. where you're like, okay, if free, like, I think two things can be true at the same time. I think free will can be as described as we have, but also like you can't go to the suburbs of Chicago and the ghetto of Chicago and tell all these kids that they would have made no choices differently at all, and that they have no control over their future. Like, I just don't, you know what I mean? Like, eventually you got to be able to.
There's a moral responsibility.
Yeah, you have that.
And they've done studies with that. And you are, if you tell somebody that there is no free will, and you read that, you know, Einstein or any Aristotle doesn't believe in that. And there's really no, the only arguments that I can find against free will are, well, I feel like I'm making a decision. Yeah. Or, well, cause and effect. And it's like, well, yeah, cause and effect still exists. Or if you go at like a quantum level, there's randomness in electron. So there's not, you can say maybe it's not, everything's not predetermined and there is some randomness involved, but we're not controlling the randomness.
Yeah, we're not controlling the randomness.
Back to there is no free will.
Yeah.
So there's no, and there's essentially, not essentially, that means there's no responsibility. How can I judge you, hate you, love you, praise you for something that yeah. just happened, and right. you just happened to be that person.
Yeah. Right? Well, again, I think you can have the free will thought, but agent, like an agency thing, it's like you're still accountable for it. So eventually you've got to, but I see both sides.
But it's how do you, okay. So back to that study, you tell somebody that there's not free will and you give them the chance to cheat, they're more likely to cheat. So like for society, if this is true, to teach it to society is going to be more negative for society than positive, according to a few
social experiments. Well, I mean, any social experiment, like if you say you don't have to pay for anything,
they're not going to.
Yeah. But
you still have to pay for it. I mean, it's still,
or like if it's free, like
people are innately,
like robbing or like looting, right? Like if it's a crime, then you're
going to
do it.
So selfishness, like people are innately selfish. So it's like, you're going to do what's in your best interest at all times.
100%.
If that in my best interest is to help you.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to help you. And how would, you know, a selfless act of me giving the shirt off my back to help you? Well, it's going to make me look good. I get praise from it.
Yeah.
Then you owe me one or whatever, right? Yeah. If I didn't receive any praise or dopamine or recognition, or I didn't feel good myself,
yeah.
Again, which I don't control. I don't control when dopamine's released in my brain.
Yeah.
Then I probably wouldn't do it. Not probably. I'm going to argue all day that we don't do anything that's not in our best interest, even if it appears to be selfless.
Yeah.
We're always doing it because we receive something out of it.
So how does accountability and responsibility play into that?
There's a few that
it doesn't.
The argument there is like the pursuit of responsibility and accountability is still noble, even though it doesn't. That's what they would say, right? That's what like Sam Harris or somebody. Yeah. And you know what's always funny? Like I knew we were going to talk about this, and so I was like reading some more and like watching some more interviews with like Sam Harrison, another really big guy on free will. And like Andrew Huberman drilled that guy. He was like, all right, so there's no responsibility. And at the end, he gets this guy to basically say like, yeah, you're right, but we should still strive to be better, even though it's all fake. And so the idea is like,
what's true and what's best for human society is different.
Yeah. And there's transcendence,
and
right?
That like opens up a whole nother conversation. What's best for society.
Well, yeah. And there's transcendence, right? Like I do, like there are levels to this. So this is one of the
elaborate on transcendence.
Yeah. There's like kind of like levels to this game. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I love early religious theory, all of it. But one in particular, just because I'm LDS and I read it, but Joseph Smith would have explained this in a way that there are levels to like faith, and faith is a principle of power. So you have this first level of faith that's kind of like this investigator level, which is kind of like where we're at, right? Like that's how you train a dog. That's like level one, or like kids, right? Like if you go to bed, I'll give you a piece of candy or whatever, right? Like this kind of like conditioning. And then there's like, and so that's the whole game. And then there's level 2, 3, 4, and 5. But at the end of this, you're like learning and growing, because eventually like you have sacrifice, which again is I'll sacrifice something to get something. Mm-hmm. And then there's, as Mark Manson would put it. And I know Mark Manson would not want to be in the same train of thought as Joseph Smith, but he can go fuck himself. You know what I'm saying? But like, then you have Ryan Holiday and Mark Manson train of thought, which is like this transcendence of like, Your goal would be to get to this point where through time and through action and through a change in your biology, because we would agree that everything that in us is matter, and matter can't be created or destroyed, but it can be manipulated. And that would be one of the things like cancer, for example. Mm-hmm. So cancer is your body's cells rebelling against itself. Yeah. Like we all have the ability to have cancer. Who gets it and who doesn't? Free will? Shit happens. I don't know, dude, but like at the end of the day, who are you going to blame? Somebody, or are you going to like keep going? Right. Mm-hmm. Like there's this prosperity gospel, thought that like, if I get cancer, if this happens, God's doing something. And in that case, I would argue free will all day. But in this case, you would say you've got to be able to transcend certain things. And that transcendence is, and I hate bringing up science and religion together just because like, I don't feel like it's fair for religion to try to disprove science and vice versa, because I think I think true religion is true science, but eventually your neurons change, right? So that's what happens in addiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like your brain physically changes and coming off of that. So you guys talked about this in one of your podcasts the other day, right? You know, there's only two drugs that you can't quit cold turkey.
Oh, I don't know.
Alcohol and benzodiazepines. Xanax? Yeah.
You can't.
You can't quit cold turkey. Alcohol. If you're a real alcoholic, you're done, right? Yep. And so that's kind of crazy to think about. And yeah, like people can be born alcoholics. There's a huge opioid baby thing going on. But anyway, the idea would be to transcend and to literally change your chemistry, which is possible. That's how when you come off of alcohol or when you come off benzos or heroin, the neurons in your brain physically change. There's like a physical change, right? Yep. So.
But how do you, are you relating this to that there is free will?
Yeah, well, so that eventually you get to this point where like you can transcend this idea of I can become an agent to myself. I don't think it happens overnight. I don't think it happens.
I'm going to disagree 100% with you.
I think you could though, like with the right power and with the right medicine.
But where does the power come from and are you controlling that power?
Well, that's part of the bigger question that I have is like, you know, you get into these realms of the quantum realm where we don't fully understand like true creation that's happening is like, can humans in a state get into the quantum realm to change what is going to be affected?
If they can, we're not in control of it. So there's no agency because if it is happening, we're not controlling it.
I think it's evolution. I think you can evolve to be able to become agents for yourself and agents. Like, will that happen before you die? Like, I don't know. I would like to believe that this goes on.
Let's say it does.
Yeah.
If it happens, there's still no free will in it because it happened because it happened. It's just an experience and your consciousness is there just experiencing it. Yeah. But there's still no free will in it.
Well, yeah, but like a product of no free will it's like riding a bike, right? Like my dad held onto the bike and then eventually let me go. So I didn't learn how to ride a bike on my own. My dad made me ride a bike or whatever, right? Like eventually you got to give that over and be like, yeah, you didn't learn how to ride a bike, but you're riding a bike. Like, yeah, sure. Free will allowed you to like no free will or this, but dominoes.
At what instance do you go from not having free will to having free will and what causes that? And my argument is that'll never happen in this life.
I would agree on the last part. And I would say consecration. That would be the last piece is like, so the difference between sacrifice and consecration would be there's no reward. And that would be like the stoic summum bonum, which is the highest good, which is virtue. And that is doing the right thing just because you know it's the right thing. Mm. Right.
But there is no such thing as the right thing. That comes down to your culture.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So whatever that means, I don't know.
Because some people, the right thing is to go kill the opposite religion. Right.
Sure.
I mean, that's the right thing to do is protect your religion by killing other people
based on their point of view.
There
is a highest good. There is virtue, though, like because we you don't need science or excuse me. You don't need philosophy or religion. And this is something Sam Harris would argue as well. You don't need science or religion or philosophy or anything to know that taking the life of another human being isn't good.
That's correct.
For the most part. But a lot of people do take the life of other people.
Yeah, I agree with you. But that would come back to human beings are born selfish, right? And which I also agree with. But like, yeah, but just saying like there are some things that you don't need anything, like you don't need anything to know that like that's bad.
I don't know. Like what?
Like stabbing someone in the back, like murdering somebody. Like nobody would need to know that. That's why women and children, that's why like you'd only kill men. Or if you were really vicious, you would kill women and children because you knew what they symbolized.
Yeah.
The future of the event. And that would be like.
So if somebody kills somebody and they kill an innocent person, why would they ever do that other than they're psychopaths and they get a reward from it and they don't control that reward that they're getting from it.
Well, and that would be in a spectrum too.
Yes, everything's definitely on a spectrum. But even going with like, are people born knowing 100% that they shouldn't kill and they're going to act on that? And I'm going to say maybe a lot of people.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody's born inherently not wanting to take another life. I think there's instances.
I think if we're going the extreme with murder, but if you're going like something simple, like maybe stealing or something like that, right? Like there is a point when, you know, you do kick in because that, like I said, like.
I mean, why does anybody murder anybody? Because they justify it.
Justify
it.
Yeah.
So it's okay to murder if you're protecting yourself.
Sure.
But not everybody believes that.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying it's all, I don't think anybody's, we can say that humans were born not wanting to kill. Well, I think that's false.
And that would come into my transcendence, right? Like, because yeah, maybe a baby born doesn't understand that murder is evil, but eventually you have a sage in the village who teaches you and helps you transcend that thought and helps you rewrite those, because the argument would be that not only is it your brain and your neurons firing, but it's also your conditioning, your past conditioning. Yeah. So if you,
Both of those together, your genetics and environment.
Yeah. And I would lean more towards, I don't know this is scientific proof, but I would lean more towards conditioning, right? Like conditioning kind of takes over that in where genetics would lack. But like, yeah, you would transcend that. That would transcend you. And that would help rewire you to be like, yeah, because we can't all go around killing ourselves. Like, we just wouldn't survive as a species. So eventually someone has to transcend that thought, overcome that, rewire a generation's brain and come to the conclusion that like, while murder still exists, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not good.
If free will doesn't exist, there is no responsibility, which completely F's up everything that we've ever taught our justice system. Now, there's a lot of hopelessness that could come there, but there's a lot of love, joy, compassion, empathy. So imagine if we're all robots, would you ever judge a car for its brakes being out?
No.
So that was, and this is coming from a YouTube video I watched. It's like, if a car doesn't have brakes or you put it in the shop, you don't say it doesn't deserve to drive.
Yeah.
You just say, we're going to put it in the shop to protect other people till it's fixed. But so let's say we're all cars, we're all robots. There is no more, look at me, what I've done. There's no more pride. There's no more ego, because there is no free will. It's just, I am who I am because of, that's the hand that I'm dealt. Right. And then if you are dealt a good hand, then with that is just immense gratitude of like, wow, I could have been so many other people born in different times, in different religions, in different races, in different countries or whatever it is. So there's a lot of immense gratitude that could come there. It completely strips ego, completely strips praise and identity, which whether that's good or bad, you know, it could be either. And then it completely strips judgment. Again, if we're all cars, we're all robots, there is no more judgment for one car robot malfunctioning, right? One robot kills another robot, or a robot kills a person. Are we going to punish the robot, or are you going to reprogram the robot?
Yeah. Well, and that's what, and that would be, in my opinion, that's what I would define as transcendence. That's what I would define as like, so let's make a human example. Okay. You and I are in a boxing match. Mm-hmm. We all know the rules. We're in a ring. We got gloves on, headgear, everything. You punch me in the face. I'm not allowed in that boxing match to say, hey, Will Bennett, why the fuck did you punch me in the face? Because we're in a boxing match, dude. Yeah. Like, what else did you think he was going to do? So that doesn't take away the argument that free will doesn't exist. What it does do, though, is like back to your point, is it transcends us into now I can set like boundaries, right? Like if we're in a boxing match and you hit me and I'm like, ah, shit, that hurt.
Well, yeah, yeah. Cause now and effect.
You learn
from that.
Yeah. And so, but that would be transcendence. That would be like rewiring and reprogramming. And like now I can, because like it's a snowball,
but everything,
right?
Is transcendence. Every conversation is transcendence.
Yeah. And I mean, that would affect a future decision.
It's just evolution is what you're saying.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and that's why a lot of like religionists or theologians would get trapped in this argument, is because like evolution doesn't exist. The world's 2,000 years old. Like, well, that's bullshit. Like, I think we can all agree on that. I hear a funny story. I was in a Sunday school class one time and the teacher next to me was like, one of the kids asked if dinosaurs existed. And before I could answer, the teacher was like, oh yeah, those are probably just old bones from another planet. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Wait, what?
Yeah, dude.
That's a belief.
That's crazy. I was like, are you fucking kidding? I was like, what Mr. So-and-so meant to say was, evolution does exist. But like, yeah, evolution, right? So like, but again, yeah, I think a lot of empathy comes from that. Cause like, why was I born to the parents that I was born with?
There's no more judgment. There's no more hate.
Yeah, that's fair.
Somebody kills your mother. How are you going to view them now? You view them as, I feel empathy for that they're a murderer and now they're going to be rejected by society and now they're going to be put in jail. Which is very, very hard to do. But imagine if you could do that and you can look at every single situation without judgment, because you look at that person as they were, quote unquote, destined to be who they were going to be, and that action was destined to happen.
Yeah.
Then you can give them complete 100% compassion or 100% love. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's personal. Like,
but that's and hard. I guess who's going to love the person that kills the kids?
How does forgiveness play into that?
Forgiveness doesn't exist, man.
All right, let's get into that.
It doesn't exist. Here's why. Because of everything that we've been talking about. Yeah. I don't control, like if you punch me in the face, I can't control that. Yeah. Right? So, and what is forgiveness anyway? There's a difference between justice and forgiveness.
Correct.
But you and I in an interpersonal relationship or Bennett or whoever, you guys punch me in the face. I don't have anything to do with that. And like, am I going to hold on to that until you say sorry? Like, what if you never say sorry? Which am I going to be mad again? You know what I mean? Yeah, but am I going to be mad forever? But I think it goes back to this idea that like if free will doesn't exist and personal responsibility don't exist, and so that allows empathy to come in. I think however you get to that point of allowing empathy to come into your life,
that's the way to go.
That's the way to go.
That's what we're all going for.
Yeah, because if you got,
it's hard. It's the hard balance because it can also lead to complete hopelessness
and nihilism. And just like,
well, whatever. What's the point of trying?
Right. At the end of this life,
but we still try, it's a bell, right? Because we're selfish creatures that are trying to better ourselves.
Yeah, we're going to
try to be happier because that's what we're programmed to do. And some people are going to try to be more miserable because that's what they're programmed to do.
Well, yeah, I got a whole family that like I know that this is true because I've lived it, and this is my experience. But like, dude, some people, it doesn't matter how far down you go. Like, you know that phrase, like sometimes you got to hit rock bottom to learn.
Yeah.
Like my family hasn't even fucking hit rock bottom. So I thought they hit it 5 times, bro. You know what I'm saying? And they're still going. I was like, damn, that's a far drop.
There is no rock and bottom. So, it's just relative. Or like, it's all or perspective.
Like, yeah, this is true too. Like, you can take the girl out of the city, but not the city out of the girl or whatever you want to say, insert whatever you want there. Like that's true too. Like you have to make a decision. And if you can't make that decision, like, and so however you get to that empathy, because like, that's what I basically had to come to with my family. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, this is just it. This is what it's going to be. There's nothing I can do to change it. There's no amount of money that can be dumped in the situation to fix it. No amount of love, no amount of anything from me is just going to be it. And yeah, when I realized that, it was like a lot of love, dude.
Okay.
Like you can't control it, right?
So selfishness versus selflessness.
Okay.
If you view everything about putting yourself first, is society better or worse? And this is a real question that I have, because you have really any interaction with any negative emotion evolved or is involved, you can sum it down to you are not behaving the way that I want you to behave.
Right. Expectations.
Which at its core is a hypocritical emotion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in assuming that nobody wants somebody else to be upset with them, then I'm mad at you for not behaving how you want me to behave or how I want you to behave. Well, then you can use that same logic back to me. Mm-hmm. And then, so with that, if everybody just focuses on themselves and fixing themselves, would that solve the issues? Or like, hey, I need to
solve what issues specifically?
I mean, just anger or like who talks first in a meeting and who decides that and who's more important and who's not. If everybody puts themselves as, well, I'm going to look after myself and my own well-being first, does that make society better or worse? I'm leaning towards it makes society better rather than trying to impress people or give other people what they think that you want them to give them and just be like, I'm going to take care of myself first. And then if me putting myself first, we can still be friends. Let's be friends. If not, then that's totally fine. I shouldn't be your friend anyway, because that's not what's best for me. And this comes from a mushroom trip that I had.
I think this is almost
I told you that.
I think it's almost like two different things if I'm pulling apart. Is like, I think as humans, we're divinely made to create. And therefore, you have a unique skill set that allows you to put yourself first in order for you to achieve what you need to achieve. I think in order to heal, I think we have to put ourselves first in the sense of like, I can't expect you to like, there's something that bugs me, I can't expect you to heal it. Like I have to do my own healing
Yeah.
in that way. So I think they're almost two different things.
That would be the paradox of control.
Yeah.
Which is like the less you realize you have, the more that you gain. Mm-hmm. Because like, yeah, dude, I mean, it's just like a million things, right? Like the more that I realize I can't control you, it focuses back in on me, on what I can control.
Yep.
And what I can control, I can make a lot of power with. Like, and so, yeah, I think at a rudimentary level, like I think majority level baseline humanity, free will doesn't exist. But there's a couple people who've been able to transcend this and kind of change the fabric of society. Well, I think Christ would be one of them, whether you believe in Christianity or not. I think he had a major play in the world.
What is different with Christ than
I think Gandhi would have had one too.
Why? Because I disagree with both of those.
Yeah. I would say we have this ability to transcend. I mean, like, you go into a tribe, right? Like,
but where does that belief come from? Because you haven't.
Yeah.
We've kind of going another example to use is just if you sit still and you think, what is the thought that's going to arise in my head next? Because we know that actions are consequences of thoughts.
Right, yeah, you can't do that.
But you can never know what you're thinking until it comes. It just comes. And sometimes you dwell on it and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
But you can never predict what your thoughts are going to be. Therefore, you can never predict your actions. So how is Christ or Gandhi different in whether you look at biology or that thought process or God's plan? God's plan was within Christianity for Christ to die for everybody. So could Christ have not done that? And I'm going to say, no, he couldn't have not done that if that was God's plan and you believe in that.
Yeah. I would say,
I think there's no exceptions to this. Zero. Yeah,
I would say that, and then you talked earlier, you were like, we can't go before or after, but I think you have to bring these in because there is like this level of,
well, you can say it happened before or after, and I'm fine with that, but
yeah,
on the earth.
Yeah. I think there's
it's not happening.
Hawaiians would call it like mana, right? Yeah. Like when you come back to your home and you get and Joseph Campbell, who wrote A Hero with a Thousand Faces, The Power of Myth, like, by the way, that Christ story is like in every story, right? Like Joseph Smith had it, but Gandhi, Muhammad, like whoever. I think it's really weird how like our dreams can have this hero's journey. Like you can find this story here or here. And I think it comes from this innate divine spirit that we have in us that pulls us upward. Like, I don't care. Like at this point, if it's God, if it's whoever, like it's happened in East and it's happened on the West and it's happened in North and South. These stories are everywhere.
Can I give you a theory on that I learned recently?
Yeah.
So going to like the cancer cells.
Yeah.
We don't control our cells.
Right.
But our cells contribute to us as people. So imagine us being a God and each one of your cells is a human, right? Some humans are cancerous and sometimes your body gets rid of them and sometimes they aren't. But like, so you're a cell in a fingernail.
Yeah.
And to like get in touch with the higher power, it's just getting in touch with the greater organism, which is God. And so a lot of people, like when you die, you go back with God. Like
we go the way of all the earth. We go where we're supposed to go, man. Yep. Yeah.
You just go back with the energy that was there.
And if you call it energy.
And if you can do it while you're on earth, that's maybe what you're saying is transcendence. Is now this fingernail cell is actually communicating with the finger, which is communicating with the hand, which is
arm. Like awareness. I'm not saying everybody can do a dog. You know what I mean? Like I certainly can. But like, and there's ways to help us. Like I think that's why we call it plant medicine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a drug. I think it's really unfair to put ayahuasca or psilocybin in the same category as heroin.
Yeah.
And it is. But you know what I mean? Like, but those things would help you. So
if you didn't get a benefit, including giving something, would humans ever do anything completely selflessly?
I don't think so, but I think that's the point.
I don't
think
so either. Ask that question, Ian.
Is there any selfless act? The truly selfless thought. If you strip down all gain, even if it's not public gain, typically we do something because, and again,
no, I don't
another
think-
other evidence of free will or the lack thereof is take any decision at all, and keep saying, why did I do that? And trace it back to something you actually controlled.
Yeah.
And what you'll trace it back to is either an experience, an outside factor, or a feeling of, it was because I felt that was the right thing to do. But you don't control your feelings. You don't control... Right. Your hormones that are released to say this is something good and this is something bad, which again is really scary for some people and it's really good for other people. Like people get dopamine hits from raping people, which is a terrible thing, but that's like, that's how their brain
that's
is
psychosis.
Wired.
Yeah, that's psychotic.
That's how their brain is wired. Luckily, most of us don't. But again, can you look at that rapist and give them a little bit of empathy knowing that for whatever reason, they're sick? So should we punish that person for being sick?
No, but we should set boundaries.
Let's set boundaries. Let's take them off the streets, put them in the garage like the car, right? But we're not doing it to punish them. We're doing it to protect other people.
Yeah,
so there's no more punishing murderers.
Well, punishing for punishment, but like boundaries.
Teaching them and they're still helping them evolve.
Yeah, I believe in rehabilitation.
But there's no more, I'm going to punish you. I'm not going to hang a bear for killing a human. Right, you can kill the bear to protect for future humans, but you're not going to torture the bear for for killing a human because a bear is just being a bear.
Yeah.
And there's no difference between a human and a bear other than, you know, we're more conscious.
And I think,
out the free will, like, we are who we are.
Well, two thoughts I had about that. So first, I don't think anybody does it selflessly because like, think about a mom. Like, why any mammalian species or mother species, right? They take care of the kids, not because the kids can't take care of themselves. Because actually humans are probably one of the only mammals that are born too early. Mm-hmm. Like, and we're the longest at the mother's breast, right? Most mammals are ready to go.
Yeah.
So why do mothers stay around and protect them? I don't think it's for the most part selfless, but like what it represents, like this represents the continuation of our species. This represents the continuation of the body of like everything that we are, right? Like
for most people.
Yeah.
And for some people, they don't even care. But either way, you're not controlling it. It's just happening.
I was going to say, if you're not controlling it, I think that's what's so interesting about storytelling is like, there's so many ways to tell that story.
Yeah.
And like, okay, so you can call the story free. There's no free will, no responsibility. And that's how we get to empathy. Or I can call it, Jesus came down, helped us transcend. You should have empathy, right? Because neither story produces a 100% the end result that we all want, which is nobody wants rapists, nobody wants murderers, nobody wants these things, right? And so,
except for if you're a rapist and a murderer, but I'm being serious.
Yeah, but
they do want those things because it makes them feel good,
right? And so we try to perpetuate this story of transcendence that we get to this point where we have like a lot of empathy, because if you can instill empathy into somebody, that might not perpetuate the neglect of society, right? So I think the story, you can tell it either way. And some people, but
we're after empathy.
Yeah, I think so. Like,
for the betterment of society.
Yeah, for whatever that means. Like, because there's crazy people everywhere. Like, it does. You know what I mean? It's like, damn, bro. But then also, like, why are these things? Why do we put good and bad on things? Like, that's something that I've always thought about.
Well, there is no good and bad without free will. There's just experience.
There's no good and bad. I think there are arbitrary labels that we put on things because we're not comfortable with it being part of our story.
But you also said that murdering is bad.
Yeah, I think two things can be true. Like, story.
I'm not going to say it's not bad, but I'm going to say it's just an experience.
Yeah.
And it's good in some, and it's bad in some, but I mean, it's just perspective.
Well, no, it does. I think people put good and bad on things because they're not comfortable with something being part of their story. Mm-hmm. Like, I won the lottery. That was a really good thing.
Yeah.
No. Well, how do you know? Because you labeled it good because you wanted it to be, because you were uncomfortable of how that event played into your story. So you wanted to like say you were lucky or you were blessed or all this bullshit.
You can take any experience.
Or you can take your mom getting murdered.
And it can
always
be good or can always be bad. Anybody think they're a terrible person?
No, they're always thinking that they're, but that's what I'm saying.
They're doing it for a greater good.
Yeah. Like, and that's Thanos, why, dude. And that's why I don't think I don't think it's fair that you label it good or bad or whatever. Because like, okay, then you have, it's like, I've had this conversation with a lot of like women in business. So for example, the thought would be like, women don't get as much capital as men. They don't have as many opportunities. There's all these things, right? But okay, all of that's true. Cool. Women don't do this. Free will doesn't exist. All this shit. But like at the end of the day, like, what do you do with that? Because we can't, and it's got to get us to empathy, right? It's got to get us to empathy. But
we're here, but what do we do?
But then like, yeah, because like at the end everybody. Of the day,
I don't think the world.
Yeah. So that goes back to one of the original questions. Like when you have that information, how do you withhold that from society?
And I think like, I feel like that's what religion is a way to group most people into a common belief, and it's good for most people.
Yeah. Well, it's a story. Yeah. It's a story. I mean, like,
and then you kind of, as a society, you evolve from that. Like one of the examples I heard was schizophrenia. If you were schizophrenic 50 years ago, it was because you had a mom that neglected you.
Right.
But now it's a mental disorder.
Yeah.
Right. And so the argument is here in another 50 years, if you're a murderer, it's going to be the same thing. It's like, wait, no, he's not. It's because there is something neurological that happened to his brain. It's
we're already kind of discovering that. Like you can pinpoint murder. They've done a really good job of pinpointing.
So then if you could pinpoint that, and let's say somebody murdered your kid and you can fix that person, would you fix them or would you punish them? If you don't believe in free will, you would actually fix them. If you know that. If you were guaranteed that they would never harm anybody again.
Yeah.
But man, as humans, could we ever really do
but
that?
But here's the transcendent
part. Could we ever just forgive them?
That would be hard.
Here's the transcendent decision,
if we don't have empathy and love.
Well, yeah, and that would be my thing. That's the transcendent decision of how you learn this through ages and people, right? But that would be the transcendent decision, which is like, I don't have anything to do with that. Like my, like I've had really bad things. Like we've all had really bad things that happen in our life that we've been able to overcome. And one of the things that we had to do at some point was say like, I have to let this go. Mm-hmm. Like it's not mine anymore. Like, and it was never mine.
Yeah.
And so like, that would be like the story of like, so one real quick thing before we got to quit, but like there's the story of a young boy who leaves his family, who has a really good family life, pretty well known. Then he gets to a point in his life where he's like, man, this is something weird. Like something's got to be better than this. And then he goes off on his own and into the woods and prays and gets enlightened, right? And then comes back and shares his enlightenment with people to help transcend others. Right? Okay, so that story is and Christ and Siddhartha Gautama and Muhammad. That exact story, that whole thing, mm-hmm. all you got to do is insert religion here and that's the story. And so I think that's why we have so many. And I think that's why whoever ends up doing this at the end is like, that man, they're all fucking really close, dude.
They are.
And so it's like, all right. But then also that was like, you know, some of your really famous scientists who come up with these philosophers who come up with the no free will. So maybe, if it's no free will is your religion or whatever you want to call it, or Mormonism or whatever, you know what I mean?
See, my opinion on religion is when I stop believing in a belief is when it's 100% absolute. Like this is the only one and only true church. That's when I'm sure. Like, I just can't buy.
Yeah, you can't get on board.
I can't buy that because that means everybody else is wrong. And I just feel like at its core, that's just a very arrogant statement. And the only evidence we have of that is our own spiritual experiences.
Right.
But I don't know what your spiritual experience. So how can I say that?
Mine is
true. Mine is true, but yours isn't. You have partial truth, but I have the whole truth.
That's right, dude.
I think religions exist because it's better for most people. Like it's a good core. It's easy. Not everybody's going to do these thought experiments
and
sit with their consciousness.
There.
Yeah. So it's, if you can believe in this, it's good for most people.
Like it'll get you where you need to go.
It gets you to the next step. And then after you get to that next step, what's the next step after that? I think you can leave religion behind to an extent. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of good that it can come, but you start seeing that it is already inside of you.
Well, I think that goes back to transcendence too. Is like, why are we having this conversation at, you know, between 28 and 35 when we have parents that are stuck in the same religion for 60 years? It's just like, dang, that sucks.
I hate you, both of you guys saying transcendence.
Dude, I love, but it's this idea. I don't know, dude.
It's just getting smarter.
I've done.
It's just learning. But you're
evolution. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But like, there is a point when you leave yourself. Like when I was.
But here's
another
question for you. Do you believe we are spiritual beings living a human experience, or do you believe we're just human beings, period?
I think we're spiritual beings. We're consciousness, whether that's a spiritual being or not. But it's a consciousness, and your body is going through the motions, and you have a consciousness that's watching it go through the motions, and there's absolutely no control over it, and there's no transcendence unless you define transcendence as an action, which it seems like you guys
are.
So
I guess, there's also like a transcendence or ascension would mean that like, your awareness is growing versus being okay with positive and negative emotions in the same space.
So it would be
So there's a different philosophy there for
sure. Well, it's the definition. It's the difference in definition between being content and being complacent. Complacent would be like, I know that this path I'm on and there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. And being content is, I know that there's not much I can do about it, but I know that I'm going. I know that I've got to get better. I know that something's got to give and like, I've got to do this because that's real. Like that's action. That's evolution. Like there's a reason because free will still doesn't answer the question of like, why was Ted Bundy a serial killer and why am I not?
It does answer the question though. I mean, that there is no free will that answers it.
Well, no. But I'm saying like, but why though? But like, why did like we didn't have that. Like we're white dudes in Utah.
Is proof that there is no free will.
Right.
Because it just happens. It's just experience.
I know.
We're just aware.
And that's what I'm saying. But religion doesn't answer it. But in my mind, like I still don't understand why he was
And you never
but like,
will.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
There's no free will.
So because like,
so because I got a question. So yeah. How should we behave in society then? And then when it gets to like,
yourself first,
when it gets into the last question is the simulation. Are we in a simulation? But how should we behave in society because of this?
Very hard question, but I do feel like if you look after yourself first and do what's best for yourself, with the caveat and maybe throwing the without harming others, right? And I would say emotional harm it maybe doesn't even count, because like I shouldn't be worried if I'm going to offend you or not. I'm just going to be worried about if I'm doing what I need to be doing. And then if you get offended, I'm sorry. If you don't get offended, I'm sorry. But I can't, if I go through life trying to control your emotions,
that's not.
It's just a failing game, and everybody's anxious and depressed and worried. Just focus on yourself without harming others.
Yeah. Well, physically. I would say that it's the.
And then what do we as an individual have to strive towards? Is it love, empathy?
I think it's different.
Dude, I think it's the AA prayer, the Lord, or the Serenity prayer. Lord, grant me the strength to control what I can get, or whatever, you know what I mean? Lord, grant me the strength to control what I can control, focus on what I can't control, and the wisdom to know the difference. Because like, yeah, I think it's all inward too. The way I would define it though is like, I have to be real cool knowing that like, I don't control anything and that everything that happens to me is part of the story that I have, and it's not good or bad,
but imagine
it just happens.
If you really believe that, would depression or anxiety exist? If you really believed that you're a product of your environment, could you ever judge yourself for not being who you think you should be?
No.
You wouldn't, right? Wouldn't it eradicate that? And it would eradicate all hate, and it would eradicate all judgment, and all embarrassment, and all shame.
And I think that's the relationship that somebody should have with God, because that would be what God is, right? Is like someone who doesn't judge. All judgment comes from like yourself and other people. Like in a real sense, what I would teach my kids is like, God doesn't judge you. Like he's the perfect way of like, cause he knows, right? Like, yeah. Cause I've always had that question. Like how could God, for example, like, my family, right? Like how could God judge my family and hold them accountable when like they never even got a shot, dude?
Yeah.
Like that's what I believe. Like they never even got a shot. And you know what I learned? He doesn't. Like, I don't even think God judges us like that. I think a lot of the shit that we get all worked up about on this life, we are going to be unpleasantly surprised when we get to the other side that, like, God didn't give a fuck about any of that stuff. Like, I genuinely believe that.
It's the...
I think God believes that free will doesn't exist either. Because, like, dude,
there's no evidence of it from the time we're born till the time we're dead. So, like, this whole, we're in a test. It's like, well...
Not a test for God, but like...
Well, even if it tests for self, we're not controlling it.
So. Right, but confidence comes from you.
So I saw this thing. It says, in my 20s and 30s, I was worried about what other people thought about me. And then my 40s and 50s, I stopped caring what other people thought about me. And then my 60s and 70s, I realized that nobody was thinking about me.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, just do you, make do what makes you happy.
Right.
Without harming other people.
Yeah,
like,
because...
Just focus on yourself at all times. And do what's best for you without harming other people.
Because people are selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay though. Like selfish is such a negative word, but like nobody's looking at you because they're looking at themselves, man. Like,
like that's why going to the gym, you shouldn't care at all because everybody's focused on themselves.
And all of these things.
Like, nobody fucking cares.
If you believe in it, and I say I believe in it, but obviously I don't act accordingly because I'm still a human and I don't control the emotions when somebody cuts me off. I'm still like, I don't think, they didn't have a choice to not cut me off. I think, F you, get out of my way.
Yeah. I think it's a learning process though. I think that's a learning process.
Is that something part of the human experience that we should find joy in and be like, wow, I felt this anger emotion. Like I might as well enjoy it for a second because I didn't have a choice.
Well, yeah.
If you can find gratitude in all scenarios, then
but there is there is evidence though that you can eventually get over something. Like eventually by going through that experience enough, you get to the point where like 20s and 30s and 50s and 60s, right? Like that's a whole evolution period. I know you don't like the word transcendence, but like that's a transcendent period. Like where you go from like, fuck, everybody's looking at me to like, you know what?
Yeah, but this not everybody fucking matters. And if you do it, you didn't control it. If you don't do it, you didn't control it.
Right, but you can't tell people that.
You can't tell people that.
No, you can't tell people that. You gotta tell people. Yeah, you gotta tell people that they have. I don't give a fuck. And this is why.
But I think you can eventually. I do think the world is going towards that as we get more aware of consciousness. And I do think that again in 50 years, just like 50 years ago, look at how we judged people for having different mental illnesses. And now we're like, it's not a having a mental illness is no different than breaking a leg.
Yeah.
So murder, let's just classify that as a mental illness because it is.
Yeah. And then keep pedophilia. Them safe and away from people.
Keep them safe and away from people.
Yeah.
But I do feel like society will go through that because as more evidence and people get more into meditation and self-awareness, there is no evidence at all that I've ever seen. And there's no arguments against free will that actually exist, defined it how we defined it. So I think we are moving towards that,
But I think like at the same time, like, yeah, you gotta, and this is why I hate Sam Harris, by the way, and all these guys, because you know what the definition of a scholar is? The definition of a scholar back when this was like a Rhodes Scholar, like all they did was eventually got to the point where all they did was sit around and theorize and read books. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I love Sam Harris.
In theory, this would work, but you're like, yes, but in reality, it doesn't work.
It's super cool.
So
that
do we
Sam,
trust then?
Look, it's super cool that Sam Harris is this multi-millionaire dude who can sit down and have, you know, dinner with his wife and not work and have millions of dollars and not have a care in the world. And be like, you know what? Those kids in Chicago, fuck them. Go put Sam Harris in downtown Chicago and tell me that he's not going to think like, fuck, something's got to be different, dude.
Yeah.
Like something's got to change. And maybe this whole free will thing, maybe teaching this wasn't the best idea because like eventually you got to tell somebody, you got to grab somebody and be like, dude, you can get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
you have to give them that hope, whether it's, but that's still cause and effect. So maybe you can still do it. I don't know. We've been going thinking forever.
All right.
I'm confused. I hope everybody else is confused.
Yes. If you
no free will, are we in a simulation then? Like, is there a greater 100% power watching all of us go through this misery and learning as we go?
We can literally
there's glitches in the system, bro.
I'm going to go watch Matrix. I've never watched it.
Never watched it?
Really?
No.
That's because it was rated R when you were growing up, wasn't it? You weren't allowed to watch rated R.
I didn't have anybody working after me, dude.
All right. Thanks, Enrique.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Thank you.